When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Oh, my Foxborough Fellowship and Patriots people, we are once again on to postseason. After your New England Patriots completed one of the greatest regular season turnarounds in not just franchise, but all of NFL history, going from 4-13, and let's be honest, it really should have been 3-14, to 14-3, they now have playoffs. Playoffs, that's right. We're in the playoffs at home, and it's actually a very compelling matchup. Because the Patriots and Chargers, be they in San Diego or Los Angeles or anywhere in between, actually have a little history. And it's going to be a tougher matchup than I think most Patriots people anticipate. That's why I wanted to go in the Wayback Machine and get one of my oldest and bestest Pats pals, Mike Dussault from Patriots.com, to join us for a little bit of a Chargers at Patriots wild card weekend look. Here we go, folks. It's time for Six Rings.
Hey, whatever it takes, man. It's all about winning, all right? Winning on three. One, two, three. Win!
Celebrating the heroes of Foxborough's past.
And with a good block. Look at Grover. Touchdown. All the way. Watch the block of number 73, John Hanna.
The champions of the dynastic era.
And a Vinatieri boots a 48-yard field goal. And the Patriots are Super Bowl champions.
The Patriots of tomorrow.
We're going to remove entitlement from our football team. We're going to earn the right to be here every single day.
And the fans whose faith never wavers.
Let's go!
This is Six Rings and Football Things.
All right. The time for music and drama and talk and everything else is over. Let's get down to task, Brax people, and talk some football. We welcome onto the show at Mike Dussault 19, Mike Dussault from Patriots.com, the former minister of Pat's propaganda, my guy who we first met now, geez, a third of my lifetime ago, rolling the lots while we were both just a couple of young, hungry blog stars on the Patriots scene, right smack in the middle of the Nethermead, the in-between of the Patriots' double dynastic run, 2009, 2010. Those were still good times, but we were wondering, like, wait a second, are they never going to win a Super Bowl again? Like, did we peak? Is this team ever going to be able to get back on track? And they did. And then, of course, they fall off the rails when Tom takes his talents to Tampa. We had the brief flirtation with McCorkle Jones, but obviously Belichick was not happy about that. So he reverse engineered a defensive coordinator to be an offensive coordinator, broke his will. Turns out he's actually a decent quarterback. Long story short, Chad Ryland misses a kick. We get Drake May. We get rid of Gerard Mayo. Here's Mike Vrabel. And holy smokes, Deuce, the Patriots are 14-3. Before we get into any of the feelings about them being in the wild card round, the two seed, a whisker close to the one and the bye heading into the 2026 postseason. Just like from inside the building and around the people that make the Patriots wheels move, how this season felt, how it resonated, and what a delight it must be to be Pat's positive once again.
I think everyone was kind of positive coming into it, but never expected that it would go like this, even through the first few weeks of the season. I think until that Carolina game when they really started to spice up the win streak, and that was when it all seemed to take off for them. But you know, I've said it a lot. We've watched Drake May all training camp. I know you were down there a few times too, and you know, he was good. Like, you know, you see the arm, you can tell that he could throw the ball, and then he had all the tools. But you saw him so calm in Josh's offense. And it was like, I think that's a good sign. He doesn't look like he's, you know, struggling to grasp it. You're watching mini camp and OTAs. What does that mean? You don't really know, but it's been absolutely remarkable. And, you know, from Elliot Wolf, Ryan Cowden in the offseason, pushing all the right buttons with the different free agents that they brought in and the rookie class, which is, you know, pretty much had contributors top to bottom, to, you know, Vrabel building this culture up. You know, you had the clip in your beginning of your intro there, Fitzy, with, you know, removing entitlement. And, you know, I think the first thing he said too was, you know, take advantage of bad football. Like, that was the bar that was set. And
almost sort of like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to be the team that can kick the crap out of last year's team.
I mean, it's remarkable. I mean, and look, they brought in a lot of new players too. There are still some holdovers and some key holdovers for sure. But, you know, it's just been remarkable to watch. And just some of the times where you felt like maybe that Ravens game where you're like, all right, they did great in the first part of the season, but now we're down into the tough times. And this is, you know, when good teams start to really play well. And, you know, lost a tough one to Buffalo. I think you could have seen that spiral for a lot of young teams, but they didn't blink and they've just been outstanding. And, you know, like you said, you gave the whole rundown, Fitzy. And I'm like, you know, those years, I remember like 2009 when we first met at that tailgate. We didn't actually meet. I was too intimidated at me by the star, Fitzy. But now here we are friends, 15, 20 years later. But just the expectations. I mean, remember going into that like 2009 playoff game against the Ravens and you're like, this is a disaster. They can't make it out of the first round. And, you know, not to say that it's not, you don't have expectations and hopes and, you know, aspirations for this team this year, but it's different having that pressure removed where it's like, you know, you have Brady, you know, you have Belichick, the top clock is ticking. It's all refreshed and reset. And it's just really exciting.
You know, it's funny because living through the incredible days, and I heard this actually echoed a couple of times when I was back at Gillette for the first time this season, walking the lots, talking to all the good Pats fans of recent year, the longtime season ticket holders and such. One of the sentiments that was echoed was, you know, the thing was, A, obviously we sucked for the last couple of years, and that was a tax that had to be paid. You know, there was a new deal was being written with the devil after the old deal expired and Brady went to Tampa. So we had to, you know, like we had to stop at the suck station for a while, and that was fine. Makes it especially okay now that the Pats are good again. But also, a couple of fans said that all those years in the Brady, Gronk, Belichick, Edelman era, if you will, even in the way back earlier, you know, McGinnis, Harrison, Ty Law days, that like we expected them to be so good because they were so good, and our expectations were always up here. Even a regular season game that was close, let alone a loss, God forbid, even a postseason exit in the divisional round, like against the Jets, it felt like the end of our world. Mm-hmm. It really did. So coming into this season with zero expectations whatsoever, other than, well, I hope we're better than we were last year and that we chart a course for success sometime in the future. That was to me the definition of what would be a good, if not successful, or winning season. So I had him at 10-7, like you talked about. We saw some of the training camps, and they looked good against the Commanders in the joint practices. But I dialed it back. So I went in saying 8-9, that's fine. As long as you turn the ship around in the canal, you got the right captains on board. Drake May is your guy. All set. 14-3, insane. But I'm glad to hear it hasn't changed your expectations as well, because this almost feels like house money.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's funny. I mean, you and I, we do this. We have to talk about this stuff. I mean, we don't have to. We love to. But imagine if all offseason you've been like 14-3. That's what they're going to do. And you were just stuck on that the whole time. You and Andy would have been killing each other the whole time. You'd be like, what? 14 wins is crazy. But you're right. And it's just,
we laughed about Taylor Kyle saying 13-4.
Right.
Now we owe him an apology.
No, right. You underestimated Taylor. You're wrong.
nice call, Taylor.
Right. Why did you? I mean, I was the same way. I was settled on 9-8. I'm like, everyone just, you know, wants to know what's going to be. And I'm just like, I believe in what they're doing. I'm just going to say they're going to have a winning record, and that should be, you know, good enough. But expectations do rise. And when you've got an MVP candidate and you see what Drake May is capable of and how the running game is starting to really blossom right now. I mean, that was something all year you're like, what are you going to do? Ramondre gets hurt. You don't have a lot of depth. And then Henderson was out for a little bit. And it felt like, man, if they don't run the ball, they're going to be in trouble. And now that's really come on. So I'm really, you know, just encouraged with how they're finishing the season. And, you know, now it's hard not to be like, come on, it's the Chargers. Let's go. Like, you know, you mentioned them at past matchups. I mean, this is, you know, a team they've seen before in the playoffs and had success against. Not that any of that matters at this point. But, you know, once you slip back into that mode, though, you're like, all right, wild card weekend, time to shine.
Yeah, these teams do have terrific postseason history as well. But Mike Vrabel trolling Sean Merriman by doing the lights out dance in January of 2007 in one of the greatest divisional round games ever.
I was
that
there.
That doesn't mean a whole hill of beans. You were at that game? Oh, that's so, right. You were living in LA at the time. Sick brag.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you know, for those who know me a little bit, go back, just Google, you know, past propaganda 2006. I wrote a whole account of it because it's just, it's a great story of how I got a single ticket to that game and, you know, ended up sitting about 10 rows in back of the game. Patriots bench. And all the Chargers fans were talking crap the whole time. And I mean, as you guys know, you've seen that game, you know how it unfolded. It was a little dicey. But now to see that kind of come back up with Vrabel doing the lights out dance. And so I can't help it. It's one of my favorite. I would say that is up there, the top two favorite fan experiences I've had going to games. The other one I would say was with you in 2014, going to that Broncos game where we had a bunch of swag to give out in the parking lot. And then we went, and I think it was Peyton Manning's last time, you know, at Gillette Stadium, and they blew doors, and Edelman returned a punt. Gronk had a one-handed catch, and that was awesome too. But no, it's hard not to think about, you know, those games, the 07 AFC Championship game with LaDainian Tomlinson sitting on the bench, Phillip Rivers playing on a torn ACL. And then a couple years ago, you know, when the Chargers came in here and they were a really good team. And I think a lot of people thought that might be the team to knock the Patriots off that year, and they weren't. So good history between these two teams. I mean, and, you know, we did see Justin Herbert here last year. Not that, you know, matters a lot, but you know,
that
they played
was
great
a
last year.
Curb stomping, and that's putting it nicely. Yeah. Then again, that team had checked out.
Yeah,
that was the definition of, you know, 46 players, 46 different lifts or Ubers, you know, they were directionless, rudderless, all that jazz. And I felt like the Chargers kind of wanted to come in and play a little Harbaugh, if you will, now that there's only one of them coaching in the NFL. The curse of Deflategate shall come for all. Suck it, John Harbaugh.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
No, real quick, just one more broad view thought, and then want to get into the rival, the legitimate rivalry between the Pats and the Chargers postseason. Even though it feels like they're playing with house money right now, at the same time, you know, I like to always go by the Marino principle, which is, Drake May's young. He'll win MVP again sometime. He's going to have a great career. Or don't worry about it. If he loses now, you know, NBD, obviously he and Vrabel are proven they're on a path to success, and they'll have plenty more AFC championships and Super Bowl appearances. There is no guarantee. Dan Marino went to the Super Bowl his second season. He never made it past the conference final again. The rest of his incredible 15, 16-year career in the NFL is one of the greatest slingers of the football. So while it is house money and it's like, hey, if they lose, okay, I still feel great about the season and I'm really super excited about what's to come. At the same time, you have to try to take advantage of this opportunity. Now, as far as this opportunity goes, it is interesting that you bring up the fact that the running game has gotten going the last couple of weeks, and Ramondre has been the best offensive player the last month. His resurgence has been awesome. Vrabel's coaching, the fact that he put faith in him as opposed to putting him on the bench or on waivers, truly remarkable. What a great feel for the team he has. As the Patriots wrapped up that 2018 season that had guys like you and me around time of the Miami meltdown, the 17-10 loss in Pittsburgh, we thought, that's it. They're cooked. It was over. Great run. They pivot to the power rush game and start an incredible run behind that great line. And hey, that was the only Super Bowl I ever went to, and it was boring AF, but it was also awesome as can be, 13-3 against the 11th greatest offense of all time, McVay and Goff and the Rams. The fact that the running game is getting going now gives me hope that the Patriots are not going to be in the dogfight that this game could possibly be Sunday night.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, especially against the Chargers team that is one of the top teams in time of possession. I mean, maintaining possession of the ball, and that's, you know, a huge thing when you have to counter that. We know Drake can throw the ball down the field with accuracy, and that, to me, is just the best development of this whole season. Is his
second most accurate season of all time.
And it's not like it's all checkdowns, you know, and that's the thing that I think, you know, everybody, I mean, certainly people who have been watching it realize, and but those who haven't really watched it close, Cam Newton, he's throwing the ball down the field with accuracy. It showed up in training camp his rookie year. You could see the accuracy that he could throw down the field with, and it showed up from time to time. But just Drake May's ability to pick up chunk yardage, and now you're seeing the running game pick up chunk yardage too. And so as you go against a Chargers team that wants to hold on to the ball, that wants to drive it, that's good in the red zone, that's probably going to score some points, having the ability to run the ball a little bit and balance that time of possession, I think will be huge. And anybody who's watched football knows that you get to this time of year, you need a running game. And Patriots right now have two guys that are really starting to round into form, and they could be the true X factor of this game. We're all expecting it to be May and Herbert and back and forth kind of thing. But, you know, Henderson and Stevenson deliver, that might change how this game is played a little bit. I think that could really help the Patriots.
Yeah. First of all, Travion Henderson had such a slow start to after the 100-yard return on the first touch of the ball in the preseason, yeah, which is insane. He kind of petered out for a while or hit a rookie wall, and he looked like he was thinking, and he was very timid up at the line. And part of me was wondering if he wasn't running that way because of the fumbling issue with Ramondre, so he was being extra ball secure. But then around midseason, once he started ripping off some of those long touchdown runs, he became a factor and a force and a threat. Yeah. And he ends his season not far off the kind of rookie campaign Jahmyr Gibbs had as well. So I don't think we're looking at our next Shane Vereen or our next James White. I think we are looking at something, or someone rather, like Josh McDaniels said, that the Patriots have never had in their offense before, and he's healthy and good to go. Now you compliment him with somebody like Ramondre, who is doing this incredible balancing act of showcasing like awesome pass protection, great between the tackles toughness, and mixing that with borderline elite speed and really soft hands in the passing game. I think that gives the Patriots the advantage that they're going to need for time of possession and to open up the passing game, be it in short yardage, as you try to take advantage of the San Diego zone, the Chargers zone, whatever. And keep the ball out of their hands as well. That's the way it's going to have to be, because if you just think this is going to be a 40-45 pass attempt game, you're kind of playing into the hands of the fifth overall defense that has the fifth best pass defense, and they're eighth against the run as well. So, yeah. They don't take any naps on defense as well, Deuce.
No, it's a really tough, fundamentally sound defense that, you know, is going to challenge the Patriots. And that's why, you know, I'd not just point to the explosiveness in the run game, but Marcus Jones's punt return, you know, special teams. Can you take advantage of those kind of scores as well? You know, remember going back with like Deion Lewis against the Texans with a big kickoff return touchdown. You know, those are the plays And I mean, one other thing I'd point out too in special teams is, you know, Dicker the kicker is pretty good too. So these games come down to kicks a lot. That's something to be aware of. But you're right, Stevenson's been playing all around football, and you know he's a mismatch in the passing game, and that's what you've seen over the last couple of weeks. Is, you know, Josh McDaniels' creativity getting him lined up on linebackers, and Drake's fearlessness to push the ball down the field. So, you know, the offense is going to have to score points. They're going to have to possess the ball and score points. And I have a lot of respect for Justin Herbert and the kind of quarterback he is, and you know what he can do getting rolling. I mean, you just look through the season what he's done while he's, you know, basically been the most pressured quarterback in the league, just above Drake. I mean, both these guys have seen a lot of pressure. So it's going to be imperative that the offense has a good game. And I would say from start to finish, as Vrabel says, no naps.
Yeah, with the way that Whole Milk Harbaugh, a.k.a. Captain Khakis, plays football, if he had his healthy offensive line with those twin towers of Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt, I think a lot of us would probably be picking the Chargers in this game. And they may have very well won the AFC West. I mean, that's just, he built a bully out in Los Angeles, and it didn't stay healthy for the season. They opened the year with that awesome win in Mexico where they looked so good against the Chiefs, and I felt vindicated, or validated at least, that I'd picked the Chargers to win the AFC West. Injuries get the best of them over the course of the year, but they still make the playoffs. That said, they do enough things well enough, even with Justin Herbert and his busted up left hand, even with the expected upper 20s cold temperatures Sunday night in Fox's Borough, that I think they're going to try to keep the Patriots defense off balance all night long. They have, oh, we lost Deuce right there. Hopefully he'll be able to pop. Yeah, there he is. They do enough in the running game with Hampton and Kamani Vidal, and they've got a number of great pass catchers as well. Deuce, you good?
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a little bit of a connectivity issue here with Mike right now, so I'll carry on with my love letter to the offense of the Los Diego Chargers until Deuce is able to gain reconnection from the bowels of Gillette Stadium. Oh, good. He's back in the stream. Okay. So, Deuce, you know what it was? Somebody inside the stadium probably killed your stream
because
they're like, Fitzy's talking too positively about the Chargers. Kill it.
No.
I was just talking about how the combination, even with their busted up line, they don't have good tackles. Like you said, they give up a lot of pressure, but they have big ass guards.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah. They can run the ball between up the gut for sure. Herbert has as good an arm as any other quarterback, and their complement of receivers. Like, if everyone's on game, Quentin Johnston, my guy, Ladd McConkey, and old man Keenan Allen, like they'll find ways to stress you at each and every point. We know Harbaugh just wants to punch you in the face, punch again, and laugh behind his, you know, 10th grade chemistry teacher glasses, but don't be fooled. They can do a lot of different things to stress a defense.
They can. I think this game comes down to a lot of the guys that have been injured and how well they can come back and will they come back? And it's, you know, to me, Robert Spillane, Kyrus Tonga, and Harold Landry on the edge. And those are three critical players. I mean, you talk about the size inside of the Chargers offensive line. Well, you know, Tonga's your big guy inside. You'd love to have him back. I think there's like a sentiment out there that like all three of these guys are all fine and they're just going to pop back in this weekend and be great. And maybe they are, but I got to see it. We haven't seen, you know, Tonga in a couple of weeks. We haven't seen any of them in a couple of weeks. And
but like Spillane is
such a key. I mean, not just because of everything he does on the field, but the leadership that he brings off. And he's like kind of the heartbeat of that whole defense. So like I said, can those pieces come back and take advantage of this tackle play? And you look at a lot of the games they lost this year and Herbert's absolutely under siege. And, you know, I like the Patriots. I mean, I think they've had a decent pass rush all year. I wouldn't say that they're a bad pass rushing team,
but they have to generate it. It doesn't just naturally happen.
Right. There's a lot of stunts. There's a lot of loops and those kind of things. And those can work, especially when they're all in sync. I think that's part of, you know, some of the lack of pressure we've seen recently is just, you know, you've got some backups in there and they're not quite in sync like you usually see when it was Milton Williams and Barmore and all that. So love getting Milton Williams back. I think that's a huge boost to the pass rush, but you have to get pressure on Justin Herbert. And there's just been over these last few weeks, and admittedly you have certain personnel that have been playing for the Patriots, but they just haven't been making enough plays, you know, against some of these defenses or offenses, especially, you know, the Ravens game. And even, you know, this week against, not that it matters, but they're going to need guys to step up and make plays and get this Chargers offense off the field. And, you know, every time they force a punt, get a turnover, anything like that, it's going to be a huge, you know, check in the win column towards the Patriots' favor. But it's going to be a real challenge, I think.
Yeah. Were you, cause I know the great almighty powerful, ever delightful and perennially positive Mike Reese even took a little guff on Sunday.
He did.
When he had a negative tweet about the Patriots defense. It was like three words to describe this Patriots defense.
Yeah. Not playoff ready.
And then Andy Hart, of course, quote tweets it with three more as well. Cause he's like, oh, if Mike's not taking enough heat, let me see if I can bring some smoke on me. You know, but he wasn't wrong to a large degree, because Quinn Ewers, Jalen Wright, Malik Washington and company, who, yeah, that version of the Mike McDaniel vaped Crusader offense was kind of having their way until the Patriots just pulled away in the middle of the third quarter. But they were able to move the ball. Like,
a little bit.
His inexperience led to the bad pick to Hawkins, the bad throw on fourth and goal from the one. Again, Mike Vrabel said back in January, we want to take advantage of bad football. The Dolphins came in and played some bad football. Pats took advantage, and a romp ensued with three Ramondre touchdowns. But if you futz around and find out on Sunday night, you're going to find out, because the Chargers won't be making the same mistakes some of these other teams have made along the way.
Yeah, that's everything to me. And that's just, like you said, they're going to move the ball. I mean, I don't want to bring up last year's game, but like, it is just a so short example of that. Justin Herbert came in this building last year and scored on 8 of 10 possessions. And I know it's a totally different team and all that, but if I'm Justin Herbert, I'm going to feel pretty good about, I'm comfortable in that stadium. I went there, I won. Like, let's go, you know, it's not this, anybody pointing to like, oh, the Chargers are going to struggle in the cold weather or anything like that. Like, I don't buy it. But they're going to have to find a way to get back to that defensive style they were playing early in the season, when it was just disruptive. You're seeing pressure. Justin Herbert can't get comfortable. I mean, you got to lay some hits on him. He's already banged up. And, you know, as I think you might have saw Belichick, I think, commenting on, you know, he's a big thing on, don't let them get the lead. And then, you get the lead and then force them to drop back pass, it's going to give your pass rushers opportunity. So hopefully Harold Landry, a couple weeks off, did him some good, and he's got a little bit of juice. He's a little bit healthier. And, you know, if they get those guys back and all of a sudden Spillane's right back in the middle, I'm going to feel good in the early going of that game. But like I said, it's going to be a 60-minute back and forth game. I see it the same way as I saw Josh Allen. There's just no lead that's safe when a guy can throw the ball the way that he can throw that ball, with the comfortable, you know, how comfortable he is with those three receivers that, you know, he's been playing with all season long. Goes way back with Keenan Allen. He's developed that same chemistry with Ladd McConkey as well. So it's going to be a challenge. And every stop this Patriots defense gets, it'll be a little bit of celebration.
And it's going to be, another just like check in the box checked for the Patriots along the way to this incredible live-in renovation and rebuild that they've done. Is this game is not Saturday at 4:30. You know, nobody wants to watch a 10.5-point favorite on the road against, I mean, the Panthers are probably like, sorry, we apologize. We didn't want to be here. We don't belong here. Whatever. But you have, you know, it could have been the Saturday night game. That would have been fitting. Sunday at 1 would have also been a good match, a good time for them as well. But to have the Patriots be the Sunday night football, NBC, like primetime game, like, that's how far you've come. Herbert versus May, you know, Vrabel versus Harbaugh. The NFL decided, no, you guys are good enough to be the featured game. At the end of what's going to be an awesome Sunday, by the way, Jags-Bills could also be a whale of a game, and 49ers and Eagles, I wouldn't kick out of bed for eating stale pizza crust either. But like, oof, watching those two games, no one's sleeping in Pats Nation this week anyway, but Sunday should be a wild ride leading up to kickoff at 8.
Yeah, I wonder, is this a changing of the guard? Maybe not even a changing of the guard, just a rejiggering of the power structure in the AFC. I assume Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs, they're going to reload. They'll be better next year. You know, he'll be healthy. Lamar Jackson, we'll see what happens. Baltimore, I mean, there's a lot of questions there. But Burrow, I mean, they're running it back there. I don't know how that's going to work out. So, you know, is this the year that those top four kind of guys, Josh Allen being the other one, are, you know, does the gap close between players like Herbert and Stroud and Lawrence and, you know, now our guy Drake? And is this what the AFC playoffs are going to be like going forward, where you've got 7-8 really good quarterbacks who honestly, I think have all the talent they need to win the Super Bowl. It's just going to be a question of, you know, what team peaks at the right time. And that's how I look at this playoff run right now for the Patriots. I could see anything happening. I mean, have them go all the way, go to Denver, beat Denver, like all that could happen. Or, you know, they could flame out this weekend. And I don't think it's really a sign of, you know, where they're headed. It's this, all these teams are going to be good right now. And it's not going to be like the old days with Brady, where it's like, all right, just get to the conference championship where you're going to play Peyton Manning. I think, you know, every year the playoffs, you're going to get in, and it's like, all right, it's a free for all. And where are you playing? Who got home field advantage? All those kind of things, you know, might make the difference.
Yeah. This, in addition to the fact, like I said, the Marino principle, if you never know when you're going to be back, so take advantage of it when you get a chance to be there. If I told you it was Jaguars Rams, if I told you it was Patriots Eagles, if I told you it was going to be Texans Seahawks, you know, just put seven teams in each of two bingo ball rollers, spin them around, and just figure out, you know, probably not the Steelers. Let's be end of
it. I don't know.
Not the Steelers. Maybe five or six in each conference. But like
Panthers.
Any option is really possible.
Especially right, look at the NFC West. It's like, any one of those
teams made it
easily could win the Super Bowl. And I wouldn't blink if it was San Francisco, Seattle, or the Rams.
Yeah, I know. All right. We'll get you out of here on this, Deuce. Your big key on either side of the ball, any primary, you don't have to give a prediction. It's early in the week still, but,
I appreciate that.
I don't really even have mine either. So
come on.
Patriots. I mean, I kind of have one. Okay. Pats by
Patriots, low 30s to Chargers, high 20s, low 30s. I mean, that's
okay. Ooh. All right. That's a four quarter affair. I'm in. And then both of us will be on the radio well into Monday as well, fielding calls and talking to the,
I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
A lot 10 Warriors. the one thing to watch out for, or just sort of like Deuce's super key on Super Wild Card Weekend Sunday night.
Pressure Herbert. Absolute. No question in my mind. Look at the splits between how he is under pressure and how he is without pressure. And it's a clear line. And you have to be able to take advantage of those tackles. Even if it, you know, put Milton Williams out there a little. I mean, I'm sure they'll be moving guys up and back, but if they don't pressure Justin Herbert, I think they're going to have a hard time keeping points off the board. So, you know, they're going to make some plays, but ultimately get pressure early. Hope those hits start to add up. You know, don't let him see it. And I think that's the formula for me. I think Drake and the offense will score. I think they'll move the ball. It's just going to come down to, can the Patriots defense pitch a couple extra stops because they got pressure?
Yeah, to me, it's all the basic tenets of just like, you know, like do your job, you know your role, lane discipline, etc. But no naps, no turnovers, the team that turns the ball over the least,
that stuff.
You go into every single freaking football game. But to me, don't be afraid to get creative. Don't get too cute. Don't get like 13-yard flea flicker cute that Vrabel talks about on the radio and creates a non-controversy out of. I mean, like, just don't be afraid to get a little creative on offense to move the ball on them, knowing how tough and aggressive that defense is.
Yeah.
And like you said, move Milton Williams around. Maybe blitz Marcus Jones early if you think you can roll some quick coverage over to Keenan Allen or Ladd and get in his face, knock him off his spot, and let him know that you're not just going to sit back and hope they make a mistake, because that'll get you beat.
Absolutely. That to me, the key is all on the defensive side of the ball for the Patriots. And I mean, honestly, it's going to start right from warmups. I mean, even get to today with the injury report, how active are Spillane, Tonga, are those guys back out there? I'm hoping it's all hands on deck. I think that'd be an early boost for this Patriots team in the week that would feed directly into that key come Sunday.
All right. It has been an absolute blast for me, and hopefully for you, be you a live participant during the WEEI and Fitzy GFY live stream here on Sixth Rings, or if you subscribe on Apple Pod, Spotify, listen on the Odyssey app and beyond. Have it on my oldest Pat's pal, Deuce, Mike Dusso from Patriots.com. Give him a follow at Mike Dusso 19. Of course, you can hear him on Patriots Unfiltered during the week and on the postgame show Sunday night at Patriots.com, and read his musings on that website. You know where to find me, the EI Afternoons. New shit Pats fans say coming out in a couple of days. We'll have a new NFL fans order drinks.
Nice.
Playoff edition 20. Yeah, we're grinding, man. This is the time. Take advantage. This is work extra hard. Like, do the extra prep. Take advantage and enjoy the time. And, of course, Hart and I will be on immediately after the game Sunday from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. to take your calls on the Six Rings postgame show. For Deuce, everyone that cut his internet at the stadium, for everyone that's going to be there Sunday night, cheering on your favorite football team. Thanks for listening and watching Six Rings and Football Things. We'll be back with more pods this week, getting you pumped, primed, and ready for the biggest game in a long time at the Razor. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Good day. God bless. And as always, go Pats.